Alright, welcome back to another episode of Practical Spiritual Advice by Infinite You, which is me, which is you, which is we. Alright, so let's go ahead and get into episode number 6. We'll get in with a recap of last episode, and that was the Gritting the Tone activation plus our introduction to Medicine for the People spiritual gathering. And so let's, you know, y'all go back and listen to the other episodes. We don't need to spend too much time on that. My name is Harold Ahonow. I am your host. I am a practical spiritual advisor and community activist and the owner and founder of Infinite You, Wellness and Synergy. I guess my main focus is here in San Antonio, Texas at this time, but I am here for a worldwide shift. All right. So, and you can, if you want to know, this is your first time checking out the podcast. This is set up in a storytelling. It's the way I'm bringing in my practical spiritual advice through the storytelling. And as I go through the history of myself and do a living life review, with new perspective, I can decode some of the things, and I do that right here in front of you in real time. And also bringing in some of the information from what I was learning, you know, all the way up until now. But as you know, just like any good book, when you read it again, you find new information. And I think I discovered kind of like why that is. I can't remember what I was watching or listening to. It was a series. It was something on Gaia TV that I was watching, Arcanum, with by William Henry and his wife Claire. And and you know, there's things that we read that spark our database of like history and lived experiences and stuff. And I think what happens is, you know, we dive into those as we continue to read the next words and pages and stuff, and we're not truly focused in what we're reading. We're still processing the synchronicities and the, you know, those little sparks that create memory synapses to like start, you know, you start diving into things, right? So anyway, that's my take on it, and I'm going to stick with that. So anyway, we do this here at Practical Spiritual Advice by Infinite You. And, excuse me. So with this part of the story, well, actually what I'm getting to is go back, watch episode 1, or listen to episode 1. It starts off in 11-11-11. And when I had my awakening and lead you up, episode 3 will be more of an introduction into me if you want to know more about me before you even get into the story. So here we are at number 6, and this puts us at about right after we did the 11-11-2018 grid, the tone activation, gritting San Antonio, Texas with Shintamanaya, Sintamani stones. And after that was, there were some synchronicities that happened with the song that I picked, the DJ group that I picked, the person, there was the one that I actually picked for us to listen to on that activation. And mind you, I had everyone during this thing, like at a specific time, turn on a song. And we did the activation in different parts of the city while listening to the song by Desert Dwellers called Dragon's Mist. And it was remixed or remissed by Kaminanda. And so this is the synchronicities. I'm driving with my soul brother, Jeremy Oz, Orgone Vortex, out of Austin, Texas. And he's telling me about some other mutual friends that invited him to go to Guatemala to a festival called the Mayan Heart Festival. And it was going to be like this whole like amazing thing. And he was just like, I don't think I'm going to be able to go. I don't have a passport. And I don't even think they're going to be able to go. They told me they just put in for their passports, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, if you don't go, whatever, I need to reach out to someone that's going. 'Cause he showed me the flyer for it. And it had desert dwellers right next to Kaminanda in the ticket, like in the flyer. Like, so the two DJs groups, like one is two people and the other one's one person. Amani and Trevor is desert dwellers, and Kaminanda, I don't know his real name. And they're right next to each other in this flyer. And so immediately I get this like gut response. It's like, all right, well, I need to send Tamani stones over there. And part of the thing was that when I watched the videos on like the introduction of the intention behind the festival and stuff, is put together by a guy named Amaya. I don't know his last name. I think it starts with an F. But anyway, Amaya put this festival together, and he was working with Mayan elders, and it was ending a 5,000 year cycle and getting us to this next galactic like level or something. And I'm like, all right, cool. What sounds like amazing. And they're going to be, you know, Tikal is the last Mayan city that you can have like a fire ceremony with people to be able to walk all over the, you know, the ancient city and stuff like that. And so it was calling me, and I knew I couldn't go. I didn't have a passport. I didn't have money. All the children and stuff like that. So, you know, I wanted to find out who was going to go. And my first thought is John and Lotus, friends that invited, Yaws. And, so they, I go and see them. I tell them the whole story about what we did with San Antonio and the information that's coming through at the stones and why I feel they need to go. And it's like this dragon energy had come in, and there's a lot of stuff that I each of these stories have stories within the stories of synchronicities that happened to validate more energy that's in a lot of these things. So, you know, I will go back, but right now, as I said in the last episode, I am skipping through quite a bit, because on the next one, I want to end us here. I want to end us in the present. So don't worry, writing a book. All right. So John and Lotus have the stones, and then, I don't know, a week later or something. Because so we gridded San Antonio in 11/11/2018. This festival was happening December 21st, 2018. So it wasn't a lot of time that was happening. And quickly, they found out they're not going to be able to go. I traveled back up to San Antonio from Austin. I drove up to Austin to give them the stones. I drove back up to get them back from them. I then put the call out on Facebook to the Mayan Heart Festival group, and asking for anyone out of Houston, San Antonio, or Austin that would be going, that I could hand them the stones to grid, you know, these Mayan ruins with these stones, is what I was being called to do. It was just like some spiritual thing. Anyway, man, this was like, we were just having fun. And not just having fun, but I'm following my higher self, which is a lot of fun, especially when you are rewarded throughout, like, throughout. Again, there's manifestation of money and things and new cars and new place to live, and we're, you know, moving, and all these different things that are happening, you know, here at the home, on the home front. But on the bigger scale, what I'm doing is trying to piece these syncs, sequences together in the right way, and just following my gut, my heart, and this vision that I'm getting of assisting humanity. So anyway, my friend Astra Christos reaches out. She wasn't my friend at the time. We didn't even know each other. She's like, hey, I'm going to the festival, and I would love to hear the story and take the stones for you. And she didn't know I lived in San Antonio. She was up in Austin. Her flight was at 7 p.m. Oh, yeah, 7. Oh, that's crazy. 7. All right, cool. So, see, this is where you just, like, start decoding. Because everything, it comes down to the completion of this 7. San Antonio is the 7th largest city, 7th tone. We'll get more into that later. We've already gotten into some of that if you listen to the other podcasts. If you're rolling along, thank you for rolling along through all the episodes and finding us here now, because this gets a lot, this goes really fast now. A lot of things transpire in very big ways. So I just so happen to have the day off. My partner Amber and I were supposed to do some type of business work. We were trying to get, you know, just things rolling on this end. You know, as I'm working for myself at this time, and we're trying to, you know, it's a business. So she's like, I'm going to help you out. And then I get the word from Astra, like, hey, I'm leaving today from the airport. And I'm like, Amber, I got to take off. She's like, you're crazy. Okay. And, she supported me through a lot, you know, all of this. There's always little things that happen, right? But at the end of the day, it's been a heck of a lot of support from someone that at times doesn't even get the full vision, but just feels my energy and says, you know what? Yeah, I trust you. Go. And so I went. I met Astra at the airport, Austin Bergstrom Airport, at the gas station that's right there inside the area of the airport, and told her what we did and said, you know, do whatever, but if you want to grid it or north, south, east, west, and one in the center, whatever. And she said on the plane later on, man, I hope she sent me a letter. Where is it? Anyway, I hope I have that letter somewhere. So on the plane, she, like, they were communicating with her, like she was connecting with them. And she said when she got there that they said, toss us in the fire, in the ring of fire. Is a you know, fire pit with the candles. She sent me a video, a part of the ceremony with the Mayan elders, and I have that on my social media if you, anybody want to check out that stuff and see some of the stuff instead of just hearing about it. We're documenting as much as possible. So she tossed him into the fire pit, and later on, or I don't know when she did it, but she gathered some of the ashes from the fire pit and sent them back to me. And, you know, as I'm making organite pendants at this time, I was guided to add the ashes to a set of 77 different pendants that are out there. Man, I don't even know. There's only, wow, that's crazy. I got to recap on which people have those pendants, because they're only 77. I should have. Wow, crazy. Oh, I should have kept that. Okay, that's cool. I'm going to find out. Eventually, it's coming back. That's going to be a really, really nice surprise when all 77 come back together, or I know where they are, or whatever that is. But, and I'm going to, you know, I say 77, but it was roughly around 77. At some point, I lost track, but we're going to just say 77. And so anyway, that was an amazing thing. And right around this time, a really good friend of mine, I mentioned him in the past, other episodes, Miguel Angel, he posted something on Facebook, and I don't know if I verbally, you know, heard him face to face say something about it, but he was mentioning to the tribe that he's going to the 2020 eclipse in Patagonia and Argentina, 2020, and you know, who's coming with them. And again, I didn't have a passport, all these children. I'm like, I'm more like not going to be able to make it. And, so I did a little research and I was like, man, there's a, you know, what solar eclipses are coming over the U.S. And, that led to finding out about two of them. And I was like, okay, there's one happening in 2023. It's an annular ring of fire eclipse. Wow. San Antonio's in the totality of it. And then it's like, there's another one. Oh shit, 6 months later, 4/8/24, there's a total solar eclipse, and San Antonio is like, I'm getting half of that one. And we're like the only major city in X marks. Okay, look, I didn't know the details. So that was the one thing, right? So I saw both of these solar eclipses as separate pictures on my, you know, phone. And I didn't know exactly where they crisscrossed. But it looked like San Antonio or something like was like in it. And so I feel like I left that information alone for a little while, and, you know, life happens, and we fast forward to this information came in, you know, beginning of 2019, somewhere around the beginning of 2019, first quarter of 2019, I find out about two solar eclipses coming over Texas, and it looks like they make an X. The next thing is, we fast forward to 10/26/2019. And this is before any of the controversy for anyone that is in the know with Knuckle Bear, you know, some of that stuff. So there were a lot of people that showed up, to his concert in Austin at, Emo's, I think that's the name of the place it was at. And, I went with Amber, well, Amber and I went, and, usually when we do these things, we plan with a hotel, no children, and you know, we're gonna partake in some stuff and just have a ball for ourselves, you know, as much as we can. Like, yo, we're gonna dive into bliss mode. No children, bliss mode activated. And that's usually us like making love passionately and you know, doing all the nasty stuff, getting all wet and nasty. And sorry, TMI. This is not your children's podcast. Hey children, if any of my children listens, don't listen to this. I should have said that in the beginning. Anyway, I'll tell them now. So, we didn't know, but before that we had, conceived, wow, you know what? I forgot. I got to put this story in here. This is where it goes. So we went to Medicine for the People in the fall equinox of 2019, which, I mean, I can pull up the dates, but I'm not looking at a calendar right now, so I'm not going to get exact on this. But 10/5, I think it was the weekend after the event, so it was 9, you know, the end of September. So October 5th, we had a little get together here at the house, and it was, you know, a friend of mine. Well, Yaz was coming into town, and he was kind of talking to another friend of ours, and they were just talking. It was so innocent, like high school, and so they were hanging out together, and he had some LSD, and we invited our good friends, Travis and Pamela, who are married, and they, you know, it was Amber and I, and we're like, hey, we're just going to hang out. I think I may have invited some other people. Nobody else showed up. It was just us six. And, we took it earlier in the day. So we were up with the sun out and, you know, hanging out in the backyard. It was a really nice day. And, we had like a picnic table situation and music and it was just really, really cool hanging out with our tribe and just laughing. And you know, Amber and I like to do our thing. And so she grabs me by the arm after, you know, the stuff kicks in and the euphoria kicks in. And, you know, we come into the room and we're going at it. And it gets really passionate. And, you know, we're at that climax and she did the thing that you women do. And I think it's this reproduction. Like you're wanting to create a being, you get your hooks in us and that's your ankles. If you can imagine, you know, missionary style. And then it's like the legs just go, you ain't going nowhere. We're both in this together right now. And so we did that together at that moment. And while I was still connected to her and, you know, letting that unk energy, that kundalini, that information, data, transference. I did a breathing in hand thing that I had been practicing, I guess, in meditation. And at the end of the meditation, when I would do this thing, I would ask myself, what in the F was that? And I did it after, you know, just like I described. And it's kind of like you have your hands, at one point you have your hands together like in a prayer, but above your head. And I did it with breath, and I pulled down, like pulling it down to my heart, this holographic pyramid, this triangle thing that just came down from above. And I saw it, you know, because the stuff was pretty potent. We were like, yo, this is some really potent stuff. Amber wigged out afterwards. It was quite an experience. And that's a whole, I'm not going to get into all the details, but that has more details. But at the end of the day, what I did and what we did together is we conceived Violet Ray Sunshine. Ho now. Our youngest child, she's 2.5 years old right now. And that holographic pyramid, I don't know if that was opening a portal for her to come in, and or if that was her, or what exactly the details are on that. But whatever it was, I fell onto Amber after I did it, and I said, I believe we conceived a new reality. And, you know, then walked out, and Amber's like, it was just a whole weird experience after that. But anyway, so before we went to Knackle Bear, we didn't know, but Amber was pregnant. And so we went there, and I mean, my back, oh man, I must have been feeling her. It's like my back was killing me. My legs are killing me. Like we were trying to have the best time that we could, but we were like, there's nowhere to sit. And like, we're fucking old, and what's going on? Like, we should be having way more fun. And, you know, as we were about to leave the event, Yaz is like, Hey, you got to meet Jason Hahn. He's from San Antonio too. And he's got a thing going on called Omen the Garden. Here, Jason, meet Harold. Harold's insane. He does this and that. He's cool. My homie, blah, blah, blah. He linked us up. And I think before the end of that weekend, Jason had, asked me what I do for a living. I told him what I did. And he said, well, do you want to lead a guided meditation for my event? I need more workshops. And I was like, yes. And so I was going to be at this event that was taking place right around the equinox of 2020 in March, right? Like, so we're going to get to that in a second, because if you start looking at the timelines on that, you're like, did that even happen? So when I get to look at what Jason is putting together in my hometown, which is his hometown, he also had done another event called Road to Rebirth, which I did attend, and it was amazing. When did I attend? So, wow. I don't know how I okay, so whenever I met this guy, Jason Hahn, I don't know if Yaz had mentioned too that he was the one that produced Road to Rebirth, which was in Austin and was Desert Dwellers and a bunch of other like really good DJs. Blue Tech and some others. And it was like, there were a few events the weekends leading up to it with more local DJs and artists in a few clubs and stuff like that, that I don't know. It was all linked together. I don't know what exactly he did, but Amber and I went to two different events to the main, you know, one before and then the main event, and I had a fucking blast. It was amazing. It was like, I mean, beautiful. And, so I'm meeting the guy that put that show on, and he's putting a show on in my city, in his city. And he felt like San Antonio was finally ready to up its game and elevate the music. And, you know, him and I talking after this, he had told me how San Antonio was imprinted with the music. He knew the guy that did it and brought the 70s, 80s rock and roll and just stuck, and, you know, Sunken Garden, all these different places in here in San Antonio that it's just a lot of some musical history that I wasn't aware of, and it made sense on why the city it assisted the city, or it's part of why the city has been like it's 20 years behind in music at least right now. And so he was gonna, you know, bring in some new blood, some new energy, and I was like, and I was gonna be a part of it. So it was part, it was right in my wheelhouse. I had, you know, made videos on my GoPro years before when I was doing free guided meditations at the Japanese tea garden up at the top. And I was, you know, one time I'd walked down into the same place that he was going to hold this event, and I'm underneath the waterfall saying, I would like to lead a guided meditation, a walking one through this beautiful place. And I'm like, manifested it, right? And then Desert Dwellers was going to be the headliner. So the Amani and Trevor, Desert Dwellers, who I had everybody listen to on 11/11/2018 for Grid the Tone activation, they were going to be in San Antonio on 3/23/2020. And I was seeing like the fruits of our labor and what we did by attuning ourselves to a territory with music, and it like brought, oh my gosh, I need to go back to these places and listen to music again. Okay, sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like, did you hear what I just said right there? I have an event. I don't want to jump too far ahead. It's the reason why I'm because this stuff just is getting crazy. But so knowing this, and what I'm planning on doing for the Ring of Fire Eclipse 10/14/23, I can now program the city with a group of people. We can stand out and listen to these artists that I want to bring and put them here. Oh my gosh. And do it for real. Okay. Now we know how the mechanics work, in a sense. Not completely, but we're obviously seeing some things, right? So, I mean, I can get anybody to do this. And let's see if this recreates what I just did. We looked in towards the city when we did this gridding activation with music. And then the music showed up to play here. For the Desert Dwellers had never played in San Antonio. They still have not. Because the show did not happen. Ohm in the Garden at the Japanese Tea Garden. It did not happen. Because of COVID. So, then I want to say that the first part of 2020, the last in the first part of 2019, after, you know, getting in touch with Jason Hahn and seeing like, and hearing the people that he was connected to and what I wanted to do with the city and bring new music and art and, you know, the whole spiritual with the, just the whole thing, right? Transformational festival and all this stuff. And so there were a few other things. I was invited to talk for a thing that was kind of like a TED talk. I had an audience and was just talking about what I had done with Colonial Hills Elementary School and their, you know, garden program and, you know, just all the things. I had met some people and had access to a warehouse possibly. And it just got me, I mean, I go big, like you give me space and I'm like, dude, can I fill it? I'm like, I want to fill it with my people and art and music and everything. You give me all the room. And that's what I was doing. I was like, and I'm like, hey, bro, do you really give me access to this space? And then it was like, all right, I can go outside of this space. Let me get my people in the city combined. So what was coming after knowing that we had Jason Hahn, who had access to Desert Dwellers, Spangle, String Cheese Incident, Henry. Like there was just so many artists that this guy had in his back pocket that he was like, they all owe me favors. And I'm like, they owe you favors? Fuck, can they come here? And he's like, I can get them to come here, dude. What do you got? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this dude's going to help my dreams come true. And I'm going to help his dreams come true. He's from here. And so I was thinking about this thing. I wanted to call it Ascension Summit 2020. And I wanted to take over the city and put this grand event together with artists and music and Android Jones and like a building man and a Ascension Summit, like a whole thing on how do we do the things that we need to do to take us to this next level. That's what it was going to be here in San Antonio. And so it was a big lofty plan. I mean, I had a whole warehouse. I had access to other businesses and people. I mean, with the right help and marketing, yeah, it would have been, you know, a thing. Would it be able to do what's happening now? No. So let's keep going. So the planning of Ascension Summit is like big within my awareness. Home in the Garden, I'm handing flyers out. I'm still doing the different events and vending, and I'm telling people, and, you know, we're talking about all the ways we can synergize and all this stuff. And so then, you know, we get up to 2 days before the world shifts. And I, you know what? I need to look at that. I need to find that date, that day exactly. Because I had met some people that were wanting someone to assist them with a DMT journey. And I had enough to do that. And it was something that I was playing around with. I had a few people over, and not saying I'm a shaman, and I'm just facilitating and holding space, and allowing, you know, their own higher selves to be the shaman in this, for them to be their own shaman. I'm just allowing, I'm the doorway for them. You know, I just had to, I had a portal. I had some powder portal with me. And so I facilitated a few. And I went ahead and facilitated myself. And for those that there's a, I don't know if it's, I guess last episode, I had a DMT journey that was 2018. Oh yeah, 2018 that really rocked me. And so I was not really wanting to partake too much, but I did. And I pulled up out of my body as after I laid down, my energy body sat up outside of my physical body, and the fence in the backyard, which was, you know, maybe 7 feet away, turned into this like mandala or this tapestry that had blues and golds and what looked like dragons and all these different things in it, like a Mayan oriental type of vibe of moving parts. And it was very symmetrical. It looked like it was very harmonic, peaceful. It looked like me. I said, oh, that's my pattern. Oh, it's not so far away anymore. And that's what I came out of that session, was that my pattern, my, what I'm here to do, my blueprint is at the doorstep. 2 days after this, with medicine for the people coming up, and Ohm in the Garden coming up, and Ascension Summit 2020 coming up, and all these things that I was planning and gearing for, and everything was looking like, wow, we're going to do it. 2020 is a year. They're going to see me. Like, that was my saying. That's, you know, you're going to have clear vision. You're going to see me, which is you. I'm you. I'm a reflection. And so that was like the thing that I was going off of. And so the world halted, and I get a call and a reach out from Jason, and he's like, the WHO is canceled, and we're not going to stop. I was hoping maybe we'll just have to reschedule for this and that. And I'm like, what? You're listening to them? Who the fuck is the WHO? That old ass 70s group? And he's like, no, man, the World Health Organization. I'm like, oh man, this sounds like some fucking buffoonery. And oh, pandemic. Oh, this. Hey, Harold, I'm getting people like, hey, now this thing's, I'm getting word that blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nah, man, that's retarded. That ain't fucking. And then everything shuts down one by one. And then I remember driving around, having to get across town and being like, dude, I don't even know if I'm, am I going to get pulled over for being out on the road? Like, there's nobody else on the road. This is bonkers. What's going on? Like, this can't be happening. And it didn't make a lot of sense. And I mean, hey, now it does. I wanted the world to shift. I wanted Ascension Summit 2020 to shift the entire planet. I wanted the world to wake up. I wanted the world to feel and see and experience the things that I have in their own way. The stuff that just kind of slapped me around and said, dude, you're in control. Stop fucking around. And, you know, I have lived a few things that I put my heart space into, my crown chakra into action, and connected these things, my third eye to my heart chakra. And I did things in meditation and people assisted me and they didn't know they were assisting me. And I didn't know that was, I just follow my own inner guidance. There's no book. There's no, like, I've read books and I've gathered information, but there's no definitive being or someone or something that's been like it, my guru, my guide, that I look back and say, that's the, just nothing. It's been me. It's been a connection. It's been a asking, you know, back in the beginning of my awakening to find my guidance, my direction, and my direction comes from my higher self. And so here we are in 2020, and the world shifts 2 days after a facilitation and self-administration of dimethyltryptamine, where I saw my cosmic pattern 7 feet away. And then the world shifts 2 days later. And so as we ride through the world fuckery and the fear mongering, the scare and the lack and the what are we going to do and how long is this going to last and all that. And by summertime in July, right around the time, you know, we have Violet Ray. Let's see, 7:14. All right, so I'm getting into another story time here. I was invited to lead a CE5 meditation. For those that don't know, that is a Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. It is a self-initiated protocol where you call your higher selves, these ultra-dimensional beings, these cosmic brothers, galactic sisters and emissaries and all these things, you call them, you kind of guide them to you in a remote viewing type of a thing where you take yourself to them because you connect through the heart space because you're calling your heart to you, which is part of your higher selves. And this is my taking, it's more of a quantum understanding of this, not so much of a star being that's in it from another galaxy far, far away. This is like tapping into the parts of myself, and that's what I'm calling to me. That was my intention. I didn't even know too much about the CE5 protocol at the time, but when I'm asked to go and connect to my cosmic brothers and sisters, that's what I'm doing. I'm calling my higher selves. I'm not asking for any representation or something else to come other than my highest self. Our higher selves, the ones that are connected to me and know me the best. And so they would come with however they need to come in order to get the message across. And by golly, it worked. So I was invited. And again, Violet Ray was just born, so we needed a little bit of time. And so by the end of the harmonic convergence, Richard, he was doing the security cameras for Viva H2O, the alkaline water store that I was working at. So we had, you know, a few conversations, and he knew where I stood. I knew where he stood with things. And, you know, we were seeing a lot of this stuff happening. He's like, dude, I'm getting called. I'll pay for it. You, Amber, you know, bring the baby out. And, you know, y'all have a room, a bed, and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, Amber, and she's like, yeah, let's go. And so we went. Violet Ray was, let's see, 25th, that's about 20 days or so. I can get the exact date. So she was born 6:25 and we're at 7:14. This is the day we had this activation or CE5 meditation. And I brought my drum, bowls. I think my friend Roman brought his flute. So it was me, Romy Nava, the modern mystic here in San Antonio, a good friend of mine, soul brother. He was there. He was, I think he was halfway co-facilitating. I'm not sure. I knew he knew some about the CE5 protocol and whatnot. And Richard Salazar, Alex Garcia, one of the owners of Viva H2O, his wife, Rebecca Mazuka, and Richard's girlfriend at the time. I forget her name. I think it starts with an E. And let's see. So Romy, me, Amber, Violet Ray, Alex, Rebecca, and okay. So that's. I feel like I'm missing someone. Alex and Rebecca, me and Amber, Romy. Yep, and Violet, right. Okay, I don't know. Whatever. I guess that's everyone. So. I'm not going to lie. There were, let's see, me, Romy, and I believe, Richard may have had a microdose of mushrooms. Nobody else did. Amber was completely sober. Rebecca was completely sober. Richard's girlfriend was completely sober. Richard had a little bit of, Tito's. I don't think Alex drank. I didn't drink. Romy didn't drink. That's the consumption part, right? So nobody has a guess. That's what happened. So doing all the drum, all the stuff, the meditating, looking up in the sky, and I see personally like a couple things zipping by. There were some circular objects that were a little translucent that zipped by in a specific part of the sky twice. But not across the whole sky, just one particular part twice. And so we're like, oohs and ahs, okay, we're actually getting some things. We didn't record anything. We didn't have cameras out. We didn't even think about that. And when I went to put my drum on the bed of Richard's truck, and mind you, we're in Kerrville, Texas. We are not too far off of I-10. There's like some kind of... I know when we drove in, it looked like a gated type of community or something. And there were homes that looked like they could be rented out. It was its own little unique little subdivision type of a thing. So we were renting, you know, Richard paid to rent this Airbnb or whatever, this cabin. And, so it's a few houses, but at night you feel like you're alone. Like the trees are surrounding you, and not until the next morning I was like, oh shit, there's actually a house right there. Man, I didn't see none of that. And so anyway, I'm going to drop off the drum on the back of Richard's truck, which is in the driveway. And this is kind of where we have a few chairs in the large part of the driveway in front of the house, maybe 20, 30 feet away from the small road that down the road, there's a few houses. So when I put the drum on the bed of the truck, I look out into the tree line and I saw a flashing of like a white light. And I don't know why I didn't think to pay it any mind, but I saw the red flashing on Romy's car, which was next to Richard's truck. The dash, like the alarm, right? The alarm security system. And I'm just like, oh, that's reflecting off of that. And it's just red light on the dash reflecting off of a tree, white light. And it just, so I left it alone. I walked back. I don't know why. That's so crazy. For all the shit I say about paying attention, I really screwed the pooch on that one. No, because it would have been nice if I was the one that saw it first, because I did. But later on, as we're looking at the sky and everything's kind of calming down up there, one of the girls, Richard's girlfriend, is like, what are those lights out in the trees, though? And I'm like, yeah, I saw that earlier. What are those lights? And now we're all just looking at these lights in the tree line. And they're and it's flashing in the tree line, like within the trees, so you can see it like lighting up, you know, the trunks of the trees about chest high. And it's just kind of skirting across the tree line and staying within the tree. So sometimes it was up where the leaves and the bush and the branches would be, and sometimes it was around by the trunk, and sometimes it would zip and go across the street and go along the tree line across the street, along, like running parallel to the road. And then, sometimes it was more behind, like where the cabin was off to the side, and there was a little bit of an open field and then tree line. So, we're for a couple hours, they're playing with this, like they're in and out. At one time they, were like, I mean, it was almost apparent that they were like, follow us. And Romy and I, we started to, and then kind of like, I don't know, man, like it's going out there. And now I don't see it. So I don't know if I just want to keep going. I don't know, man. I wish I next time I'm going to follow, because I know, because the thing that happened, as soon as we knew there were lights on the ground, I had this wooden staff, and I was guided to pull down some like light language and just like spin my staff around and just kind of like put the energy of this divine masculine protection energy, not necessarily protection, but like, yo, shields up. My other higher selves are here. Whoever you are, if you're not cool, you got to go, or else it's not going to be good for you, as I will defend. And, right. It was like that energy. And I'm there like, and Romy's like, dude, are you speaking light language? And I'm like, yeah, man, I just like, you know, just got to let them know like what's up. I'm just trying to check, doing just like a check real quick. If they stick around, then they're good. If they don't, then they're not good. And we're good. Right. It's only going to happen a couple ways. Like they ain't, nobody's fucking with us. And, I've already talked to my higher selves. They're here now. And, so they stuck around, they flashed, and they came close to me three separate occasions. The first time I was on the phone with Romy's girlfriend because she was tripping out that he didn't get home at the time that he said he was going to get home. And so I'm like, yo, you need to calm down, girl. No, I wasn't talking like that. I was like, hey, Amber used to do this too. Like, there's nothing to worry about. There's no other girls here. Like, all the girls here are taken. It's a wife, and a girlfriend. And there's that's all the girls that are here. And so she's still just not getting it. And next thing I know, I'm standing next to Romy's car within like maybe 3-4 feet. And right next to the car, one of the lights flash on the driver's side window. And then it went up over the roof, and about like midway to the roof, it turned and went left and went over the windshield of the car, over the hood of the car. And then as soon as it rolled off onto the ground, another one appeared, and they kind of connected, and then they zoomed up and to the left. And, I was like, whoa, I gotta let you go. What just happened? Like, yo, this is something. And these are not just like little, like there was no physical essence to this light being this, whatever it was. And, so he still was dealing with her, lights in and out. We're like, whoa, I never followed them out to the woods. I didn't go into the tree line ever. And, so a little bit later, where, you know, things calm down, and I go inside for a minute and come back out, and I'm going to take a hit from the bowl. And I'm like, hey, Romy, you want to take a hit? Let's go to the side of the house right here where there's no wind. And, so we're hitting the shit, and then fucking one of the lights pops up right next to us, comes next to us again, and then goes back out towards the woods, towards the tree line, and was like blinking, like, follow me. And I'm just like, do I go? I don't know. Amber's over there. Hey, like, what am I gonna tell her? Like, hey, I'm gonna go check out the lights over here for a minute. And dude, she was halfway flipping out a little bit. Like, Violet Ray is in her arms, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks old. And so I kind of felt that. And hey, I was a little like taken back, where had I been just Romy and I don't know, man, I may have, like, if the baby wasn't there, if Amber wasn't there freaking out, I may have, I'm not sure. But I knew they were shooting codes at us and giving us information. And so, you know, one way or another, we were getting information from this. And the next day, like, so that was like, that happened like 2-3 times. I think it was 3 times where they came up next, and then they like wanted to like travel out to the woods, and it's like, no. So we'd go to sleep like buzzing. I could hardly sleep. The next morning, wake up. I think everybody was gone by that time. And Amber and I pack up, we get all the stuff, and we're driving back, and she and Violet Ray pass out and in the back seat, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go check out the property I've been eyeballing since 2012, the 753 acres on the side of the highway, see if it's still available. I mean, I know I ain't got the money right now, but man, if I can manifest it, you know, this is how we do things. And I'm driving, get all the way to Fredericksburg, and I'm like, damn, someone bought it. They're selling 5 to 10 acre lots, and I call, and they're not off-grid or anything like that. And so I'm like, okay, what do we do now? So in Fredericksburg, Amber and Baby are still asleep. I look over. I stop at a where they're selling peaches. Like, that's what the Fredericksburg is famous for, really nice, beautiful peaches. And so I get a little thing of peaches. I'm eating one, and I'm like, all right, let me look at that solar eclipse, the two. I'm going to see, like, let me see if I can just find out exactly where it crisscrosses. I want to go in the middle then. I wonder if I was even in it. Let me see. I type in solar eclipse 2023 or 2024, whichever one, and boom, this website pops up, greatamericaneclipse.com. And they have a map, and it's detail. It's the two great Texan eclipse, something like that. And it literally has exact time that the solar eclipse, where it's going to cross, the crisscross. It shows both of them. So you get to see exact middle of this X marks the spot. And Kerrville's in it. So where we had this C5 meditation, we were in it. The land that I was looking at was close to the edge of it. It was in it. Still in it, but we were on the edge of it. And then I'm like, all right, well, I want to look at what's in the middle. And when I started going towards the middle, it led me to Utopia. Utopia, Texas. It's a real place. And it's in the middle of X marks the spot of these two solar eclipses. Like right lower left-hand ventricle. It's like a little bit right below the center and kind of a little bit to the left. Very, very close to the center. But it's a marker, right? So then I'm like, all right, let's just follow that. All right, land for sale near Utopia. And because Utopia is beautiful, by the way. Look at some pictures, Utopia, Los Maples, the whole hill country area. You're looking at beautiful God's country. This is like, it's beautiful. So I'm looking at land near Utopia, and I find Miracle Springs Ranch, 754. 4 acres. It's 1 acre more than the property I was eyeballing for the last decade. And so I'm like, all right, you got me intrigued. How much are you? Blah, 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 this and that. I'm looking at the pictures and video of it. And I'm like, wow, dude, this is nice. This is a really nice place. It's water. It's two lakes on it. It's a cabin, a lodge. And I'm trying to look at the topography and see, you know, if there's land to be used. Like, can't go and just build on the side of a mountain that easy. You're looking at, oh man, my whole fucking earthship idea is out the window. So I can't really decipher the topography. And so what happens is I'm telling the story as I'm out vending, and I'm at a bookstore called Unlimited Thought Life Enrichment Center and Bookstore. And I'm vending on the second weekend of the month on Saturday. And as I'm telling the stories of the solar eclipse, this, to this lady, and, you know, how it led to Utopia and Miracle. And then I'm like trying to pull up Miracle Springs Ranch. And, you know, my guides kind of put me to saying it into the microphone. And as I'm saying it into the microphone, this guy's walking behind the lady, stops dead in his tracks and looks at me and says, Harold, did you just say Miracle Springs Ranch? Because he works there. His name is Todd. And Todd Daughtry. And so I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, that's my father's property. That's my family's land. Yeah, my daughter, she lives out there and manages it. We run a lodge and a cabin and hunt, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what? And the lady is like, okay, that's fucking, I just saw that. And so it's been this really amazing ride and journey to just acting on my gut and responding like my human design that, you know, what everything is I come to with what I'm learning. We'll get into human design later, but there's a chart. It's for free. You can Google it, free human design chart, and you can find out more about yourself. And later on, I'll explain, and you can go check out my links, and I'll be putting free intro to human design, online courses, and all kinds of stuff available. I got a lot of things going on. It's all getting dialed in finally. And I've been saying that shit for fucking 11 years. but I've been, you know, hey, backs up against the wall. Solar eclipse is this year and next year. So there's no mistaking what's going on here. I know exactly what we're doing. The X marks the spot with San Antonio, and you know, we're the only major city that gets hit with both of these solar eclipses. You know, first it led me to Utopia, then Miracle, and then, you know, I'm going to end this episode at this point, and the next one is going to be episode number 7, and I'm going to bring us all the way up to date to 2023 and the current happenings of what all this means. Cause I don't want to, you know, where I'm at right now, it goes really quick from this point, and there's a lot to be said. And so that episode may run in, you know, a little bit over an hour, but I like to keep these right about an hour, 45 minutes, 50 minutes. And there's just so much in this next one. But I do want this next episode to get us all the way to current status, and then we can go forward with every episode having more information, because it's coming in really fast for me, and I need to be able to express this through these podcasts. And so please share this, spread it, comment, let me know what you're thinking. Once I pay for the this to get upgraded, I'll be on Spotify and the other places, so it'll be easier to find. But spread the word, share it in all your social media platforms. Help me out, get the algorithms going by commenting and favoriting and all that stuff and following. But again, next episode, it's going to be super exciting. Make sure you tune in. And with that, I want you to love always in all ways. Peace.